In this morning's scripture reading, we hear the prophet Amos thunder down God's judgment against society, saying, "They use an ephah that is too small and practice deceit with false measures. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. I will turn the sky to darkness and your feasts to lamentations." Now, you could be forgiven if you are wondering what on earth God is talking about here. What is an ephah, and why is God so angry about it? Remember, God goes full on judgment day with this. Skies darkened, wailing and lamentations, the whole thing. All over an ephah that is too small. What is this all about? What is an ephah anyway? Well, an ephah was a unit of measurement that was very common in ancient Israel. It was a unit of measurement used for everyday sorts of commerce, for like going to the grocery store. It wasn't very big. It was something about yay big, about the size of a 5-gallon bucket or so. And it really was a kind of a bucket, the ephah. It was a bucket that was used by the merchants when they were measuring out their goods for sale in the market. So if I decide that I need to go buy some flour to make bread, I go to the marketplace and I see a merchant and they have a sign that says 1 ephah of flour, $10. I decide that's reasonable. They pull out this bucket, this ephah, from behind their counter, fill it up with flour, and that's what I paid for. Now, in reality, it was only poor people who were buying flour in this way. It was only poor people who were buying flour 1 ephah at a time. But that's what an ephah is anyway. It's a bucket about yay big. But this doesn't explain why God is so upset about this. Now, you have to understand, the reason God cares was that the merchants, they were using their ephahs, they were using the ephah as a way to cheat poor people out of what little money they had. Understand, I can't just bring my own big bucket to the marketplace and say, "This is 1 ephah I'd like to pay, please." The merchants wouldn't allow it. They would only sell you flour, measuring using their own ephah. No doubt citing the fraud and abuse that poor people would perpetrate against them were they to be allowed to have much of a say over this commercial transaction. The merchants would insist that if they were going to sell flour, it would only be out of an ephah that they measured themselves. And wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? The merchants, the rich merchants, that was who were among the wealthy at that time, the merchant class was who was wealthy, they began to fraudulently tamper with the ephahs that they kept behind their counters in order to make more money than the other merchants who were around them. One merchant would decide, "You know, I'm going to pour a thick coat of wax down into the bottom of the ephah and then paint it brown so that it looks just the same as everybody else's ephah, but in fact, it doesn't hold quite as much. Now, I would still go and pay full price as if I was getting 1 full ephah, but I'd only get 9/10. It's not that much to any individual customer. I might not even be able to tell the difference. But for the merchant, that means every 10th ephah, pure profit. Pure profit picked out of the pockets of the poor." Now, the next merchant over, seeing that their neighbor over here seems to be making a lot more money than they were, maybe they decided, "You know, I'm going to sand down the top of my bucket just a little bit every day, so that at the end of 6 months, it doesn't hold as much." But you could never catch them doing it, Because any given day, it looks just the same as the day before. There were 100 ways that the merchants would cheat the poor using an ephah that was too small. Now, it didn't happen all at once. The rich getting richer at the expense of the poor. It didn't happen all at once. Little by little, year over year, generation by generation, the rich merchants got richer still. And the poor, they had a harder and harder time even just being able to buy food for bread, buy money to feed themselves and their family. It all happened so slowly. The people couldn't understand what was happening. They couldn't understand why they couldn't get ahead. Until finally, people began to cry out to God, saying, God, what is wrong with me? Why can't I seem to get ahead? Why does this always seem to happen to me? I come to the end and I don't have what I need to survive. What is wrong with me, God? Now, God knew what was happening if the people did not. God knew why the poor kept getting poorer and why the rich kept getting richer. God knew what was going on and sent the prophet Amos to thunder down God's judgment on the marketplace, saying, hear this, you who trample on the needy and you who bring ruin to the poor of the land. You are using an ephah that is too small. You are practicing deceit, using false measures, buying the poor as if they were silver and the needy as if they were just pairs of shoes. By the pride of Jacob, I swear I will never forget what you have done. I will make the sun go down at noon. I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs shall be lamentations. This is why God cares so much about the ephah. Not because God is punctilious about matters of weights and measures. God cares about the ephah because it has to do with how the poor and the needy and the vulnerable fare in society. It has to do with how society treats those who are barely getting by. And the minutest detail of weights and measures will not be minutiae to God if it has to do with how the poor and the needy and the vulnerable fare in society. You see, here in the prophet Amos, we see revealed God's true character. We learn something about God that we wouldn't have known otherwise. We learn here in the heart of the Hebrew Bible, we learn that God is horrified. God is horrified by an economic order that is built up and structured so that the rich get richer at the expense of the poor. This is the God whom we proclaim here in this church, the God whom we meet throughout the Bible. Everywhere you look in the Bible, you see this same God. We proclaim the God of Joseph. Joseph, who languished in prison on a trumped-up charge. We proclaim here the God of Daniel. Daniel, the war refugee. We proclaim here the God of David. David, the farmhand. The poor farmhand with big dreams. We adore here the God of Jesus, even Jesus himself, who was born poor and who grew up poor. Jesus, whose love for the poor should come as no surprise to anyone who has read the Bible. The God who is angry as hornets when rich merchants are cheating the poor every time they buy an ephah of flour. This is the God we meet everywhere in the Bible. The God we proclaim at this church. And Christians, the world is hungry The world is hungry to hear about this God, more than hear. The world is hungry for a community that lives out the values of the living God, who lives out the values we read of everywhere in the Bible, to make this creed alive. This is what the world is hungry for, and we, as a church, this is what we are about. Or at least, this is what we are trying to be about, what we are striving to become. We are a community of people, rich and poor and everywhere in between. A community of people trying to live out God's values. That's what we're trying to do. Because God cares about the poor. Because God cares about the poor, this church helps homeless seniors to be able to move into housing and off of the streets. Because God cares about the forgotten, we support programs for teen mothers and for after-school programs for middle schoolers who live in the projects. Because God cares that people are needing to choose between paying rent and buying groceries, because God cares about that, we are fighting to change the law at the ballot box to increase supporting for affordable housing, voting yes on question 5, because God redeems people from the depths of misery and insanity. Because God redeems people from misery, we are a true ally to people who are in recovery, where people here in this church, people with long-term sobriety, sit down next to people who are still shaky from their latest bout. Because Jesus died, homeless and alone, we mourn the deaths of countless people who live and die on the streets. And we started a mobile soup kitchen to take lunch out to people and meet them on the street where they are, to sit down and share a meal and talk. Now, if this sounds like boasting, it is at best a pastor's privilege, proud of what you all as a church have done and continue to do. And I am proud of this. I am proud of you. But God is calling us to do more. And we at Old South Church, we are in a season in which we are recommitting ourselves to doing more. A season in which we are recommitting ourselves, making a bigger difference, committing to make a bigger difference than ever before in how society treats the poor. A season in which we work to spread the good news of God's wide open love, to spread that good news wider than ever before. A season when we are seeking to raise up more new Christian leaders than ever before, to make this building, to make this chancel more accessible than ever before. To do this, this is the season that we are in as a community of faith. To do this, we have just launched a capital campaign. Now, maybe you have been a part of capital campaigns before that were about a new building or a new roof. This is nothing like that. Maybe you've been a part of campaigns before that were all about raising money. This is nothing like that. It's true, we are seeking to raise money as a part of our capital campaign, but that is not what this is about. And if we mistake this season of the church's life for one in which we are raising money, then we shall miss the mark. This is about a commitment as a community of faith, committing to being a church that lives up to, that strives to live up to the highest values of our faith, to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. And to do this, we need to have everyone who will, everyone who would have this be their spiritual home, for everyone to commit to being a part of this campaign. And we are grateful to have visitors with us from all over the world, that today we can call upon you all in the way that God has placed a calling on your lives, that you would recommit to living out God's values in your life wherever you go. We need all of us, everyone who would have this be their spiritual home, to commit to being a part of this work together. Now, whether what you can give is a financial gift, or the gift of prayer, or the gift of discerning your own call to ministry, or the gift of dreaming up an ambitious new ministry program that will require huge resources from the church that we do not yet know even where we shall find them. Whatever it is that you can give to this season of recommitting ourselves to living into God's values, we will need you. Because hear this. This campaign will take all of us if it is to be faithful to God. And it is only if we are faithful to God that we dare have any confidence that we will succeed. Because make no mistake, this work is urgent, because humanity today is no different than it was when the book of Amos was written. The human heart is just the same. It may not be that the ephah is being used to cheat the poor out of the money and enrich those who already have enough. It may not be that we are using an ephah anymore. But when a drug company can charge $700 for a single dose of life-saving allergy medication and then dare to offer coupons as a way to cover up the public relations disaster, the anger of God still thunders down against the market, saying, "You have no values whatsoever." When payday loan stores can open up shop, predominantly in communities of color, when payday loan stores can open up shop and charge 1,400% APR and call it legal, and this is true, by the way, I used to work for one of these places, a place called PLS, that stands for Payday Loan Stores. I spent a summer opening their mail, and part of what you will receive in the mail is that sometimes people send you back, accidentally, the Fair Lending Disclosure Act sheets that explain what you're really paying, and if you are super in debt to a payday loan store, you are paying 1,400% APR. God is not mocked. God is not mocked, and the minutest details of vicious greed are not minutiae to God. They are not minutiae to God if they have to do with whether the poor and the needy and the vulnerable among society can thrive, or whether they are being ground down to dust for the benefit of those who already have enough. The world needs people of God. The world needs people who will live out the values of God, who will strive to make the world one that is closer to how God dreams it might be. The world is hungry for a church like the one Old South dreams of becoming, the one we are working to become, the one we are recommitting ourselves to building ourselves up into. The world is hungry. Will you join us in this? Will you dare?